Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 280 of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. Here to bring you the latest and greatest geeky news of the week, I'm your host, Sean Hayes. And it has been a week. So hope everyone's doing well. Got some a lot of great gaming news this week. Got some really interesting pieces, as well as some like local news, which is always very exciting when there's something actually like local to report on. So I'm not gonna waste any time to get right into it. So here are the news topics for the week. That's right. I have a thing. Yeah, now there's a list. Oh, we turned the list off. There we go. There's the list. All right. So first up, Activision Blizzard have an update on the merger, on the Activision Blizzard Microsoft merger. Polygon reports that the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, they're the people who are supposed to prevent monopolies from happening, has filed a lawsuit and requested both a restraining order and an injunction in federal court to block the merger. This is like the one time that I'm like, no, actually, please let this one go through. Blizzard needs the help. Their filing says it needs the injunction to allow the commission the, quote, opportunity to adjudicate the merger's legality in an administrative proceeding. Basically, they just want to block it. Because my guess is Sony probably paid a lot of money. That's how it's basically been going. Because the EU basically softened their stance and are letting it go through. So very unusual to see the EU being like, nah, we'll let this one go through. And then the FTC finally step up and get some teeth and be like, oh, yeah, Disney buying Marvel, Fox, Lucasfilm. Yeah, that's all fine. But granted, it is one of the biggest publishers, but like Microsoft is also basically overpaying for it. And based on all of the lawsuits that have been happening with Blizzard specifically, they could do with some cleaning house. So next up, Bottomless Bricks. So this is the local piece of news in our area. So the Berkshire Eagle reports that the local Lego store, independent Lego store, has reopened on South Street in Pittsfield. It used to be up in Adams. A grand reopening event is planned for June 24th, which will include free like custom like special edition minifigs for the store for, I believe, the first 50 customers. They will serve as a retail store. A lot of their business is doing like birthday events, so an event space, and they will serve as an exchange for vintage sets. So they'll look up the price through Bricklink, I believe, and then basically like buy it from you to then set it up, like to set up trades with other people. Owner Aaron Laundrie was a contestant on season 3 of Lego Masters. This is like super exciting. I'm super pumped. I didn't get a chance to make it up there when it was up in Adams. And unfortunately, like it opened right before the pandemic. So it was one of those where like the pandemic hit and then all of a sudden like their business model was like, oh no, we can't do events. So really glad to see them in a reopened. That will probably be a place where I spend far too much money. Next up, Capcom Showcase. This is a big piece. So basically, there's no E3. Everybody's doing their showcases. Ubisoft did theirs, kind of weird. Skull and Bones was shown again for like the umpteenth year in a row. But Capcom did theirs. They held a digital premiere on YouTube to show off the following titles. Kuritsugami, Path of the Goddess, which will be Xbox, PS5, Windows, and Steam. Mega Man X Dive Offline. They're really shooting with Square Enix on the names there. For Steam, iOS, and Android, they showed off Street Fighter VI and a bunch of features for Street Fighter VI, which is currently out on Xbox, PlayStation, and Steam. Resident Evil 4 VR mode for PSVR 2. Pragmata. Basically, that was announcement that it was going to be delayed again. Ghost Trick Phantom Detective, which is going to be on Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, and Steam. Apollo Justice Ace Attorney Trilogy will be on Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, Windows, and Steam. Capcom ID, which is basically they're going to get in on the whole set up an account with us to unlock stuff and track it across games. So it's not really a game, but just like sort of support software. Kind of joining late to the party. Like Ubisoft has their own thing. EA has their own thing. Blizzard's got their own thing. Nintendo's got their own thing. PlayStation, Xbox. I think Square technically does have their own thing for Final Fantasy 15 or 14 specifically. Exoprimal on Xbox, Windows, PlayStation, Steam, and Dragon's Dogma 2 for PlayStation 5, Xbox, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2, kind of excited for. I kind of started Dragon's Dogma 1 on Switch and then fell off because like other games came out that were newer, admittedly. I kind of got to get back in and like wrap my head around it. It's a game where like travel takes a real long time. There's no fast travel. So if you need to go somewhere, you better prepare for the long haul. But yeah, so they did their showcase, you know, and it was, there was a bunch of other stuff in there. There's a lot of like Street Fighter tournament information, but, sort of piggybacking on that, they also announced during that stream, but I felt it was enough to be its own news thing. IGN reports, that Capcom has launched a website for its 40th anniversary where you can play retro titles like Mega Man, Mega Man 2, Street Fighter 2, Final Fight, and Mega Man X for free, called Capcom Town. This also serves as like a little quirky, like town-like hub where it will also feature company bios, interview snippets, behind the scenes content. And you can go to, there's like a digital merch store to get things like Twitter profile bio pins and stuff. It's kind of neat. I wish this was more of a thing. I hope it sticks around, you know, after the 40th anniversary is over. But we'll see, like if it just ends up being a special event thing that gets taken down. I remember Nintendo used to do this a lot for their titles. And I'm going to date myself here, but when Yoshi's Story came out for the N64, Nintendo had a website where it was sort of a like Yoshi, Neopet Tamagotchi type thing where, you would care for a baby Yoshi and like feed them fruit and everything. So it was super fun. You know, because when you're in that age demographic, it was a lot of fun. Long since shut down now. Like, I don't think you can get to it anymore. But yeah, here's hoping Capcom Town sticks around, especially since they have those retro titles. In a similar vein, the most bizarre piece of news that we have. IGN reports that McDonald's, in conjunction with developer Cruel Toys, has released a Game Boy Color compatible game about Grimace for, I don't know if it's like some anniversary of like introducing the Grimace character or whatever, titled Grimace's Birthday. the game can be played on its own website, grimacesbirthday.com. But it has a downloadable ROM file that if you install it on your Game Boy Color, it is compatible with that system. Like it was designed to be used with Game Boy Color. This is weird. it is a game in which like Grimace has to basically like he is having a birthday party. None of his friends show up. He's got to go find them, find out what's going on. And it's like he's got like 4 hours to midnight. So he's like got to find them before midnight hits. And so it's like you just skateboard around and collect hamburgers sort of a thing. again, I am all for weird, unusual, like niche websites to commemorate a specific thing. Who knows if this will stick around? I may have to check this out. Just it sounds weird enough. And as like a tie-in to the event that's happening at McDonald's, where it's you can get like purple milkshakes or something. So yeah, Grimace's Birthday. available now for Game Boy Color. next up, Hermit and Pig. IGN reports that a trailer for the PC-based quirky turn-based RPG titled Hermit and Pig, where you star as this little dude who lives out in the woods with his pig. You do foraging, you know, a lot of like sort of slice of life, like Stardew Valley, Harvest Moon type activities, foraging out in the woods. So I did say turn-based. So there's turn-based combat, in which like you fend off forest critters. They're not like fantastical critters. They're just sort of like regular forest critters, but it might be like, oh, you got to get a skunk off your property, or like it's a bear. Oh, no, you have to try and scare the bear away. And in which you overcome personal shortcomings and like social awkwardness. And there's some sort of it seems like there's some sort of past trauma to work through to solve some kind of sinister corporate plot. So yeah, very, very quirky. The art style kind of reminds me of like Earthbound a little bit. And that's coming to Steam. Honor Among Thieves. So final revenue total. This was numbers pulled from Wikipedia. For the film's theatrical release was just over $208 million worldwide. This is against a $150 million production budget. So this was something that some friends of mine and I were talking about on Memorial Day. I thought it was much higher. as far as the revenue total. But yeah, one of the things was they reportedly did not spend a lot on marketing. So I don't know how much of that extra marketing is tacked onto that production budget. But even so, we're looking at they may have like just broken even, which is not a great thing to be like, obviously, like if you make your money back, great. But film studios want to see things get like big, huge profits. So questions, how did this happen? You know, how did it just break even? This was supposed to be sort of a new sort of trendsetter for fantasy films and like a new direction going forward. It's supposed to be like a big relaunch of D&D media. So a couple things was like the film was done and like was supposed to release sort of during pandemic era, and they just kept pushing it back. Like the film was finished and they just sort of kept pushing back the release date. And then the one they settled on was around the same time that the Super Mario movie was coming out. And like, that's just a bad decision. Like you can't do that like that because Super Mario, absolute juggernaut. You can't release it around the same time. Also the fact that Wizards of the Coast, you know, people have seemed to have kind of cooled off on sort of the anti-wizard sentiment from the D&D perspective. But as a corporation, as a whole, Wizards not exactly doing itself a lot of favors over the past 6-7 months. So a lot of folks still is sort of boycotting the film as a form of protest against the company. These are things like, you know, I've covered them before, I didn't because I was still not doing the podcast, but like OGL fiasco, the Magic side of the division, the Magic side of the business sending the Pinkertons after someone who basically got cards early and like sort of like did leak them, but like leaked them I don't know, a couple days ahead of time. You know, and basically got sent the most notorious sort of union busting private security force in U.S. history against them. So yeah, Wizards not doing themselves any favors, coupled with releasing it a lot, like releasing it almost around the same time as the Super Mario film, and kind of the fact that like it felt a lot like a Marvel movie, and there's a lot of Marvel fatigue going on right now. You know, I thought it was great, but yeah, a lot of those things working against it. So, although this apparently has not stopped them from doing the other shows that they have greenlit. So, you know, Joe Manganiello will still get to make his Dragonlance show, I guess. So, yeah. Next up, Lorcana. Polygon reports that Upper Deck has filed a lawsuit against Ravensburger, the company making Lorcana, with the Disney license, alleging that the lead designer of the game stole Upper Deck's intellectual property in order to make Lorcana, and basically violated the terms of a contract when this person was working for Upper Deck. So like basically the timeline is sort of they has like part of some event or whatever, like I don't know if it was a game jam or something, like submitted like a whole bunch of mechanics for this game that Upper Deck wanted to make, like this other TCG that Upper Deck wanted to make. They then hired this person. They had a contract. Basically, something happened. I don't know if the project was shelved or they wanted to move in a different direction or whatever. Person left. Got hired by Ravensburger. Started working on Lorcana. You know, 2.5 years go by. You know, Lorcana is finally getting ready to be released in like 2 months. And now Upper Deck is saying, oh, this is unusually similar to our game that, you know, we've had to sink a whole bunch of more money into after this person left. And they're kind of like skirting around the whole like game mechanics aren't protected by copyright sort of thing. Alleging like it was a violation of contract, trade secrets, you know, theft of intellectual property. They're asking for an injunction to halt the game's release in addition to other forms of relief. So damages, they're claiming that like both that if this game releases, does really well, like nobody's going to want to play their game. But also if this game releases and does super poorly, it's going to, because it like uses the same mechanics, is going to reflect badly on their game and also make it sell poorly. Of note, Upper Deck, not a great track record as far as lawsuits go. Like they are notorious for having filed lawsuits almost to the point of being frivolous. And they've lost like every single one of them. So I don't know. I don't know if this is going to go anywhere. The other thing is like both companies are based in Washington, but they filed this in California. So that's also a weird thing, like, which means like it'll go to federal court, I guess. So yeah, a very bizarre sort of thing. Next up, Sea of Thieves. Polygon reports that the Monkey Island DLC that's upcoming for Sea of Thieves was made without consulting original head developer and writer for the Monkey Island series, Ron Gilbert. Polygon did note that because sort of the IP rights for Monkey Island is technically now owned by Lucasfilm and Disney, like Ron Gilbert, like he doesn't have to be brought in to the process at all, like legally. It's more of one of those things where, you know, even just a heads up of like, hey, you know, we're going to be making a Monkey Island DLC. You know, just, you know, even just like giving him a heads up of like, hey, we're going to be doing this, you know, is like, you know, just maybe be cool about it. you know, I mean, the guy was originally responsible for making that series. So the least you could do is, you know, even just like get him to take a look at it so that he could, you know, give like a thumbs up or something that you could. I mean, and why wouldn't you want to do that so that you could use it in promotional materials? Like have him take a look at it and, you know, there you go. So yeah, I don't know. Finally, IGN reports that Vampire Survivors developer Punkle has released another free update to the indie hit. And this, that the hits just keep coming. This is like kind of Stardew Valley levels of like decent amount of content that you're just getting for free being added to this game, which is an absolute bargain, by the way. I still maintain this game is undervalued. The update includes a new stage, a randomizer that has Twitch chat integration, 3 new relics, a new pickup item, and a new form for the character Yada Cavallo. And for people that, you know, can't recall, either played a long time ago and can't remember all the names, or like maybe you just, you know, you see like the sprites and you don't really pay attention to the names. It's like the panda that has the cherry bomb attack. It's, you can turn it into like this weird, like constellation cosmic entity. That also upgrades that attack. So yeah, super pumped. I love Vampire Survivors. Always glad to see there's another free update to it. And the fact that there's just so much content packed into that game. And I think even like if you buy the base game and the DLC, it might be like $10. So yeah. So there we go. That is going to wrap up the news for this week. So if you would like to see more content from 8-Bit Adventures, you can check out our website at 8bitadventures.com. And I'll put that link in the chat here. If you would like to help support this content, the best way to do that is to become a patron at patreon.com/8bitadventures. You can support all of the content that I make through 8-Bit Adventures with that Patreon. So it's not just the podcast. It also supports like everything else. And there's benefits for everything else sort of folded into that. And you can support... Like, you can become a patron for as little as $1 a month. It's just done by a month. It's not done by releases of things. So just, like, a flat rate each month. And you get all sorts of benefits. Big shout-out and thank you to all of the current patrons. Thank you for your continued support. And finally, our opening theme is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can check out his work over at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. And especially for patrons, if you have any pieces of news that you would like to submit for this weekly podcast, go ahead, send it to me on Patreon, and we'd be glad to add that to the mix. Just make sure to do it like with enough time for me to research it. That's all I ask. So, all right, that wraps things up. So hope you all have a wonderful week. Go check out Capcom Town and Grimace's birthday. and if you are local to the area, hope to see you at Bottomless Bricks on the 24th. I'm certainly hoping to go like right when they open, get one of those little minifigs. And we'll catch you next time. So, as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.